Well, I know it's kind of hard to believe. It just seems like the other day was Monday, and it's Thursday already, and tomorrow is Free for All Friday. And I told you Monday, I said the weekend's going to fly by. It's going to be the weekend before you know it, and here we are on the threshold of the weekend. I'm Scoot on the air. I'm glad you're with us this afternoon. A lot going on, a lot to talk about. You know, I'm really sensitive about topics concerning the media. In particular, topics where the media is being blamed, particularly when it comes to Donald Trump, because he's done this more than any other president. Now, there was a time when President Barack Obama had problems with Fox News, and I called him out on that the same way that I call out President Trump for blaming the media. Fox News is right-leaning, CNN, more neutral than Fox News or MSNBC, but still slightly left-leaning. And then MSNBC is left-leaning, and I'm talking about the cable news channels. So when the media is unfairly attacked, as a member of the media, I feel like it's important to stand up for the media and also to just explain why the media is being attacked. And I want all of you to know that I have taken an interest in studying the media and the relationship between mass communication and society. I have been studying this since I got in this business. And there was something about communication theory that fascinated me. And I had a really tough teacher at Loyola and communication theory. And it was Professor Tungate. And anybody who went to Loyola and dealt with Professor Tungate, that was a tough professor. I got a C. A C with Professor Tungate is about like getting a B plus or an A. So I felt pretty good about getting a C in that class. But it's something that has intrigued me over time, over the length of my career, just studying this relationship between mass media and society. And I will tell you, sadly, that the overwhelming majority, I mean, I would say 95% of the people in this business, radio, television, as far as websites are concerned, they don't really understand this relationship. And so I like to bring this area of expertise into this show when I can. And I realize that when it comes to Donald Trump, there are going to be people who are going to disagree with me, and that's fine. But I'm telling you that I'm speaking from a standpoint of understanding this relationship and understanding the workings of the media. And I've paid attention to this and continue to pay attention to it. And it's very relevant in our society today, because the media is a reflection of who we are. Truly, the media reflects who we are. Sometimes we hate what we see in the media and we want to blame the media, but the media is reflecting us. And from the standpoint of logistically attracting an audience, the media has to reflect the audience. If the media did stories that you're not interested in, what's going to happen? You're not going to listen. You're not going to watch. You're not going to read. You're not going to pay attention. And so it actually is the audience that dictates much of what the media covers. The media doesn't cover the stories that are most important to us. There are a lot of things that are really important to us, but they're really boring. Like the national debt, that's a classic example. That's a really important issue, but it's not a sexy issue. It doesn't get a lot of attention. People don't care about it, even though it's important. So instead of presenting it because it's an important issue, the media doesn't cover it because it doesn't get your attention. So it's all about getting your attention. And if you think about this, you really understand this process. You know, Fox News feeds its audience. CNN, MSNBC feed their audiences. And so we might not like what we see or hear in the media, but it's not the media's fault, because the media is a reflection of us. And I love to use this analogy, and I've done it before. The media is like a mirror. When you look into a mirror, you see a reflection of yourself. If you don't like what you see, you can't blame the mirror, because the mirror can only reflect back that which is looking into it. You look at an image of yourself in a mirror and you don't like it, you can't blame the mirror. It's on you. And so that's pretty much the way the media is. If we don't like the media, it's really because of us, the collective audience that is the audience for the media. And that's the best way I can describe it. But this battle that's going on right now, and President Trump and Pete Hegseth at a press conference this morning, I mean, they were about to, you know, pop a gasket. I mean, they are just livid over the media. And it's not the media's fault. The media is not doing anything wrong here. In fact, the other important thing to remember about the media is that from the very beginning, from the creation of the media, the press, it has been the collective job of the media, the press, to hold politicians accountable, to report on their behavior. Because in our country, the media is free from government control. The FCC regulates the media, but it doesn't control the media. And it doesn't really regulate content. I mean, there are some areas when it comes to profanity on broadcast media where there is some degree of control. But it's not supposed to control thought. That's the problem with President Trump. He wants to control the thought. And it has always been the job of the media to hold politicians accountable for what they say and do. I mean, this goes back to the very beginning when there was just print media. Nothing has changed. And that's still the responsibility of the media. And if it were not for the media, there's so much we wouldn't know. We wouldn't know about LaToya Cantrell and the Pentalba. We wouldn't know about LaToya Cantrell and Officer Bootygard. I mean, we wouldn't know about her Bootygard. We wouldn't know about all of that. We wouldn't know about all the incompetence of the Sewage and Water Board over the years if it were not for the media. So the media does serve a purpose. And to some degree, the media is biased. But and sometimes the media makes a mistake. But Fox News, for example, is more right in terms of political ideology. They're more right than CNN and MSNBC are left. But overall, it's the attacking of the reporting of facts that is the problem. And when Pete Hegseth attacks one of the true journalists at Fox News, then there's a problem. So we're going to talk about that this afternoon, and I hope you find that to be enlightening and entertaining. Also, political violence has increased overwhelmingly since President Trump took office. Why do you think that is? Why is that? You know, I know there are right-wing radicals who say it's all the left. It's not all the left. Political violence has increased. Why do you think that has happened? Why is there more violence? I don't think it's just President Trump. I think there's a little bit more to it than that. But what do you think? And think about your own feelings. When it comes to politics, are you feeling a little more aggressive since Trump took office? And if so, why? So we'll talk about that. All right. Felix's Oyster Bar owner is suing Mayor Cantrell over the French Quarter trash contract. Troy Henry remains positioned to take over this $73 million French Quarter trash contract August the 1st. Just even in the face of the city council and the French Quarter businesses and residents not wanting that to happen. Sidney Torres has it right now. He's doing a hell of a job. Troy Henry thinks he's entitled to it, and we've had this conversation on the show. And I think it's really a shame that it's going to go this way, but it's about politics. I think race plays a part here. I hate to say that, but I think it's true. And I just hope that that Troy Henry lives up to what Sidney Torres is doing. And if he doesn't, we're going to point it out. And Troy Henry's going to be held accountable. Troy Henry's going to have to maybe spend a little more than he thought he was going to have to spend, because he's going to have to do the exact job that Sidney Torres is doing, or he's going to look like the fool. Troy Henry's not going to look good if his company doesn't do as good or better a job than Sidney Torres. And that may cost Troy Henry a little more money. So, you know, look, here's the good news about that. The pressure and the bar that Sidney Torres has set is going to have to be reached by Troy Henry, or Troy Henry's name is going to be damaged. You know, all this stuff about I'm entitled to it. I should have this. Well, you better live up to it. You better do exactly what Sidney Torres is doing. And if not, we're going to know and we're going to talk about it. And that's fair, because that's what the media does. All right. So it seems like the Pelicans have some really good draft choices. I hated to see C.J. McCollum go. But, you know, that's the way it goes in basketball. But, you know, I'm going to be confident. I'm very confident about the Saints. I'm going to be confident about the Pelicans in the upcoming season. There's a question on our website, and there's an article. Why are Louisiana's road conditions so uniquely poor? I mean, our roads are terrible. I mean, I feel badly for my car. In fact, every time I hit a pothole or I hit a bump that just really jars my car, I mean, I think about, this is my car. I own this car. I don't want anything to happen to this car. And I resent the streets here because of all the terrible conditions that we drive in. And I know there are problems around Louisiana, but I think it's probably worse in New Orleans. I've had tires blow out because of potholes. And I know I'm not going to get money from the city. They don't have money. They've got to save money to pay for LaToya Cantrell's traveling. So they don't have money to pay what they should pay for residents who are being hurt. The hell with the residents. They've got to pay for Cantrell to travel. It's that simple. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And I have to tell you, though, in the Lakeview area and the West End area, there have been some bad, bad potholes and little divots here and there that have been filled temporarily the blacktop stuff, whatever that blacktop material is, they've been filled with that. So I'm impressed that the city has jumped on that. Also, I think we need to talk a little bit more about Billy Nungesser talking about Jeff Landry, the governor, vetoing the balloon bill. And this is posted on our website, WWL.com. It also should be posted on Scoot on the Air Facebook. And it's a part of our show from yesterday when I was talking to Billy Nungesser, and he just sort of added this thing in about this bill that would ban Mylar balloons, ban the release of balloons into the air because of all the damage that it causes to the wetlands and to the animals, marine life, and animals in general. I mean, animals are dying when you know, people are honoring the death of somebody and they send these balloons into the air. And the balloons land elsewhere, and they kill animals. It's not bringing anybody back, but they're just killing animals. So that should stop. This bill unanimously went through the legislature, according to Billy Nungesser. So why did Landry veto it? If it was a unanimous vote in the legislature, why did Jeff Landry veto it? Well, anyway, it's explained there. We'll talk a little bit about that later. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. Ian Hoke is our senior producer at the controls in the other studio. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon to you, too, as well.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. I loved what you had to say about the media, you know, like you... I'm interested in communication theory. I always have been. It's part of what I studied at Loyola.
And it's important. It's important for the consumers of the media. It's important for the audience to understand this relationship better. And you're going to get a better understanding listening to our show. I don't hear anybody else talking about this, and I think it's important.
The only thing that I might offer is that for my money, everything you said about quote-unquote the media is true, as much as you're able to kind of make the media into, you know, one sort of compact, understandable entity. It's not.
Right.
Fox News is not a media organization any longer. It is a Republican super PAC. It is a political organization. It is a political entity. And as such, is released from having to play by the same rules as everybody else.
But see, that's why we need to hold Fox News accountable, because technically it is still the media. But it is acting, as you say,
right.
It is acting in this way of promoting Donald Trump and promoting Republican ideology. Mm-hmm. But the fact that that's what they're doing as a member of the media, that's what is significant about that.
Right. I think if more people understood that, you know, the newsiness of Fox News has disappeared. After Roger Ailes died, there was nobody left to control the monster. And so now they're all kind of doing their own thing. You know, when Tucker was there, he was kind of calling his own shots. Sean Hannity, these people, Laura Ingraham, they are running the show over there. And it's their, you know, it's their rich benefactors and their rich friends and their rich donors and their rich members of Congress and people that they associate with it's a symbiotic relationship where Fox News works to get Republicans elected. And Republicans create content for Fox News. And I'm not even talking about like elected Republicans. I mean like base voters. You know, you see all the time a story like, I got fired because I wore a MAGA hat to work, or somebody spray painted a swastika on my Tesla. And you get 15 minutes on primetime in Fox News. And then if you have a GoFundMe, you get a bunch of money out of it. You get all these donations. What was the story that just came up a couple weeks ago? Where somebody just, is that woman that said that nasty thing to the black kid at the playground?
Oh, that's right, yeah.
She got millions of dollars out of this.
It's insane.
I mean, it's
insane.
This kind of reciprocal cycle where, you know, conservatives are feeding content to Fox News in exchange for their, you know, members getting help from, quote unquote, the media.
But also the bottom line is Fox News is getting massive ratings. I mean, their ratings are higher than MSNBC and CNN combined.
You cannot deny that they're popular.
However, when you combine MSNBC and CNN combined, they're not that far behind Fox News. So it's not like everybody wants conservative ideology crammed down their throat, because they clearly don't. So Fox News does have the ratings, but you know, I looked into something interesting. I wanted to find out whether or not Tucker Carlson left and was replaced by Jesse Waters. Were the ratings the same? No, they're not. I looked into this the other day, and I was interested because I thought they would be about the same, but Jesse Waters has at least a million people less than, he's got like 2.something million, and Tucker Carlson had 3.something million. So what that tells me is that there are people who were interested in Tucker Carlson, even though Tucker Carlson lied and made stuff up, even though he didn't tell the truth. The truth didn't matter. What mattered was that these are great stories, and I believe these stories because I want them to be true. It was total confirmation bias. So I know we have to get to a break. We've got a lot to talk about. I would love to get your input on our conversation today because, again, it's an important conversation because the audience needs to know what I know and what Ian knows and what others in the media know about this relationship between the media and society. And we've got to address this crazy issue of Trump and Hegseth this morning just going bonkers over the media and the report that came out on CNN and in the New York Times. And this idea that maybe, according to this report, maybe those bombs did not obliterate everything. Now, there have been subsequent reports that say, yes, they did obliterate everything. And I'm sure Trump called Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and said, hey, Bibi, you got to come out with a report. You got to come out with a report. Intel says we obliterated it. The problem is, what if we didn't obliterate it and we act like we did? Iran moves forward with their program. So President Trump can be fragile, and he is. He's a fragile man. He's a big girth of a man. But inside, he's a fragile little baby. And the man cannot take criticism. He can't take any story that is negative toward him or any story that contradicts what he says. He wants to be a dictator. He wants what he says to be taken as gospel with everyone. And that's not going to happen because we do have a thriving media in this country. All right. Also, look, let me report that after 6 weeks, two of those New Orleans escapees are still out there. And remember I mentioned when they escaped, I said, you know, there's a possibility that some of these people may get away forever. Look, I think at some point, both of these guys are going to mess up at some point and law enforcement's going to get them. I'm convinced they're going to get them at some point. But 6 weeks later, they're still out there. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on WWL. All right, I want to talk about how President Trump and Pete Hegseth just went bonkers today over the media. It's kind of an old story, but they're just resurrecting this, and they're just calling out the media to a point where it's not fair. And we need to set the record straight here while all of this is going on. But first, let's go to Ian with some of your early text messages.
Here's a text message that says, when you reference Fox News, do you imply that that network is cramming conservative opinions down our throats? But when you reference CNN and MSNBC, no such exclamation is presented. It's your right to have an opinion, but stop referring to yourself as an independent. P.S. I do not watch cable news. I have no cable in my house.
Well, P.S., I am an independent. I'm a radical moderate, and I do have opinions. And yes, it's fair to say that MSNBC does try to cram liberal ideology down your throat. CNN is not as bad, but they do it to some degree. They're certainly not Fox News, so I think CNN probably tries to cram some of it down your throat as well. But what I'm saying is that neither one of those two, CNN or MSNBC, don't do it to the degree that Fox News does it. CNN and MSNBC have never been caught in lies to where they had to pay $787 million in a settlement because Fox News did not want the details of them lying and how it was premeditated lying. They knew they were lying. They did not want that to come out in court. So to the degree that Fox News does it, it's much greater than the degree to which CNN and MSNBC do it. But CNN and MSNBC do it, so it's fair to point that out.
The sort of the low-hanging fruit, the easy attack against you to say that you can't possibly be an independent. Well, what do you expect from an independent? I mean, really, let's at least come to a sort of communal agreement about what that means. To my view, and I think you would probably agree with this, if you have anything else to say, let us know. An independent calls balls and strikes as they see them, irrespective of what the Republicans want or Democrats want. If your job is to call balls and strikes and you end up calling three strikes in a row, they say, oh, that's biased. That can't possibly be independent. No, the fact is it was three strikes.
Yeah.
Like, how can you defend yourself against that? It's people just don't understand what a radical moderate, what a centrist, common sense, independent voice looks like. As soon as the common sense, centrist, independent voice starts telling truths that they don't like, then, oh, well, they can't possibly be a centrist. They can't possibly be moderate. They can't possibly be an independent because they said something that went against my team.
Well, and that's why they don't want me to be an independent, because they don't want an independent to be that objective about something that they totally agree in. You said it really well, Ian, and I appreciate that. But that's true. And there are people who are so biased that they can't understand that somebody could not be so biased. They don't understand independence if you're a right-wing radical or a left-wing radical. You don't understand how somebody could be a radical moderate who could be an independent. You don't understand the concept of not being part of a political tribe because you are part of a political tribe.
It's the same phenomenon you see when it's like, you know, you or I will offer some critique of President Trump, whatever it is. And the response oftentimes is, well, you must love Biden. Well, you must love Harris. Yep. You must love Obama. You must love everything that they did. And it's like, no. It's like I said I love peanut butter, and your response is, oh, well, you must hate oranges. Like, what is wrong with you?
No, that's so true, Ian. You brought this up before, and it's so true, and I see it on social media. It certainly is present here on the air. If I say something negative about Donald Trump because of what he said or done, then, the response, well, you must love Biden. No, I don't love Biden. I was very critical of Biden. So, it's not if you love this, then you must hate this. Please, I know it's difficult, but, pay attention to what's being said, because you can't put this show into a box like you can other shows, because other shows are totally consistent with their ideology. They're consistent to where you can tune in anytime you want and you know exactly what the ideology is. I have different opinions when it comes to different things, like many Americans. And so that's reflective of what I do on the air. And so, I cannot like two things at the same time.
Left Lane Rider is listening today. He says a great example and a huge one of crooked media is Kamala's 60 Minutes interview, editing answers for a presidential candidate to make her look more favorable in order to sway voters to the left. How can they ever be trusted again? I'm convinced the best course of action is to watch absolutely none of the major outlets. They are fear mongers because fear draws ratings and ratings bring money.
Well, I agree with the last part of that. But in terms of the editing, Fox News did the same thing to Donald Trump. There were stories out. We talked about it on the show. They didn't want him to look stupid. So they edited some things out in the Trump interview. Fox News did exactly what was done with the Kamala Harris interview. Exactly. The exact same thing with Donald Trump. But if you're locked in the media echo chamber of the conservative world, you're not going to hear that. They're not going to tell you that. You're going to hear that on this show. So if you listen to our show, you know more than if you listen to other shows because you're not going to get that on other shows. But the truth is, they did the exact same thing. And the stories are out there. But see, this person is just repeating the sound bites that have been drilled in this person's head from the conservative media echo chamber. They're telling you that, and you're believing it, and you're repeating it to us, even though you don't understand that Fox News did the same thing for Donald Trump.
Here's a text that says, Scoop may be a moderate. Call it 50-50. His hatred towards Fox and Donald. Lotus liberal side 20%. He sounds 75% liberal, the rest moderate.
I'm not 50-50. I mean, on a lot of things, I lean right. On a lot of things, I lean left. And again, if you can't just pigeonhole me into this one category, you know, people have to think listening to this show. You have to think. This show is for people who actually think, not people who just want it all to be the same. So it's monotone in terms of opinions. It's monotone. You can tune in any time and hear basically the same ideology being promoted. To me, that's boring AF. So, you know, we're different. We're bold on this show. And, you know, I don't, you know, on any given day, I'm 75 one way and 25% the other way. The next day, I'm 25%, 75%. I don't keep track of that. I just talk about what I see in the news from the perspective of somebody who doesn't belong to either political tribe. And that's what it is. It's tribalism. And I'm not part of either one of those.
Where did we get this idea that everything's got to be 50-50 anyway? That is a strictly American construct. Other pluralistic modern democracies do not have that problem. It's like we insist that the media has to do everything 50-50. And it's like a football game. It's like in the NFL, you got two teams playing, right? And one team is the kind of flawed. They make some mistakes. They drop a lot of passes. They finish 7-9. Okay. But at least they have 11 men on the field who are at least trying. The other team has 8 men on the field, plus 2 armed bank robbers, a guy in a Big Bird suit, 5 petulant 4-year-olds, and a guy just walking around giving a Nazi salute. And the media is the referees, and they have to officiate this absurd game 50-50, calling penalties on both teams at the same rate, or the audience will tell them to pieces and say that they're biased.
You know, and also,
we're doomed.
Also, Ian, think about this. The people who think that I'm unfair, I don't hate Fox News. I respect the hell out of what Fox News does. And I've said this many times, Fox News does a better job production-wise than either of the other two networks. They have more entertainment value in what they do. They are brilliant with what they do. It's just that I don't agree with everything that they do, so I talk about that when it comes up. But make no mistake about it, I don't hate Fox News. I don't hate Donald Trump. I have never said anything hateful about Donald Trump personally on this show. I'm honest about his actions as a candidate. I'm honest about his actions as president, but I don't hate him. But those of you who think that I'm not being fair, remember, many of you supported the dissolving of the fairness doctrine so right-wing ideology could be presented unfairly to left-wing ideology. You were for that. You were for getting rid of the fairness doctrine. So it's fair for me to be one-sided. Remember, you were for that under Ronald Reagan. And the end of the fairness doctrine gave birth to Rush Limbaugh and conservative talk show host, which could not have existed when the fairness doctrine was in place. I've been talking about doing it. We'll do it next week. I will do a show on the fairness doctrine because it's very, very pertinent to today. But for those of you who support Fox News, I'm not doing anything differently than Fox News. It's just that I don't do their ideology. And you can't get mad about that if you support Fox News because they go way overboard not being fair. So not being fair is part of the game today. All right, we got to get to a break here. If you want to join us this afternoon, the Oakenheart Jewelers talking text line is 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot, and we're coming right back with your comments. And, you know, we got to talk more about this this battle with the media with Donald Trump and Pete Hegseth. That happened this morning. We'll talk about that when we come back on WWL. You know, there are so many people who claim to be patriotic, and they really aren't patriotic. I've never lived in a time when there were more people who didn't understand our basic freedoms when it comes to freedom of speech. I'm Scoot on the air, damn proud of what I do every day. I'm not perfect. I don't have to always be right. If I'm wrong, I correct it right away, unlike many people in the news. If I'm wrong, I correct it right away. I've never told a lie on the show, and I've never said a lie about Donald Trump. If reporting the truth, if you think that's fake news, if you think that's a lie, then you're the one that doesn't really understand the definition of fake news or a lie. From the Florida Panhandle, Daniel, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot, thanks for having me.
Sure.
A couple quick questions. One real quick. What percentage of your audience do you think is a Donald Trump supporter?
I don't know. I'm going to say probably 65.
65%. I was going to say 60. Okay. Good. And I'm asking not to say this. So if you, just like you just said in your comment, if you only reported the good things of Donald Trump, do you believe your numbers would go up or down or stay the same?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's a case of, I don't think I should do what I think is going to make the audience bigger. I think I should be honest with my opinions. Now, a lot of people in this business will do what they will say or do what they feel like they need to say or do to get attention. I've known people who were conservative on the radio, but they were not conservative off the radio. So there are a lot of liars on the air just for ratings, and I can't do that. My ratings are great, and they're going to continue to be good, and I'm going to continue to work hard at being who I am.
Well, Scoot, I think that's exactly. That was going to be my next statement. It's kind of coincides with that, is that I think that you find what the truth is first. You don't put the bias to it first, and then you report, you know, what is the truth. And it's pretty much people who listen to you, and if they're not a hater, you know, if they're not sick in their head, I hate to say it that way, people that are confused and believe everything, if they just hear the news and then they have a source themselves, one other, they're going to find the truth in it. But now, and I'll finish with this. You know, I think maybe you do this, Scoot, because I listen to Tommy, I listen to Newell, and I listen to you. You have a unique way of not only what's new and what's happening, not only the music, but you just have a way, and I think you probably studied this some way, somehow, of just keeping people, you know, entranced in what's being said long enough to focus and hear a point, which with valid topics and sources that, you know, bring things that are valid. Tommy's a little bit more trying to please the people. Newell's just hardcore running head first. You're just right in the middle and bringing exactly what needs to be heard, but bringing it with truth and knowledge and fact-based. So I just wanted to ask you those questions because I am curious, too, about communications and listening to three different guys per day. You know, I gather an opinion and a thought, you know, on each one and how what methods you use. But,
well, I appreciate that, Daniel. And look, I appreciate working for a radio station that allows people to be true to who they are on the air. And Tommy's true to who he is, and Newell's true to who he is, and I'm true to who I am. And I appreciate that you listen to all three. You're right. I don't do it for ratings, but yet we get ratings, and a lot of Trump people listen to the show. A lot of people who hate me listen to the show longer than people who don't like me. We get a text from somebody who absolutely hates me, will never listen again, and 30 minutes later, we get a text from the same phone number. An hour later, we get a text from the same phone number. Those people are dedicated to the show, and, you know, sometimes people want to hear an opposite view, and sometimes I think this show serves as a way for people to vent their own frustrations, even if it's just to the radio while they're listening, because they disagree and they get a chance to vent their frustrations even to themselves or on the air. So it's okay. And, you know, a lot of Trump supporters, a lot of people who voted for Trump, I won't say Trump supporters, a lot of people who voted for Trump agree with me about Trump. They voted for Trump because he was the best option. So this show is for everybody, but don't underestimate the vast audience out there that is not kissing Trump's booty, that understands the reality about Donald Trump. All right, we're going to come back with more. If you're on hold, stay with us. We'll get to your calls when we come back. And I didn't have a chance to do it in this break, but I'll do it right after the news. We've got to go through this, just this crazy moment where Donald Trump and Pete Hegseth were just going postal with the media and said some really inappropriate things. And the media is just doing its job. And I want to set the record straight on this, because you're going to hear conservative social media, you're going to hear conservative voices on Fox News and conservative talk show hosts who are going to give you a biased view of it, and they're not going to tell you the truth. We're going to tell you the truth about the media and what happened this morning at the press conference. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on WWL. On the SOTA calendar, on this day in 1974, Bad Company released their epic debut album titled Bad Company. And here's the song Bad Company by Bad Company. What a great name for a rock band, Bad Company. I loved it, man. Look, when I was a young DJ doing music radio, I was playing this music when it was first released. Yes. That's how long I've been in this business. All right, I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you're with us. So, you know, why did Trump and Hegseth go so crazy this morning with the media? And what did they do that was so wrong? We're going to talk about that coming up. And I would love for you to be part of our conversation. We're talking about the media in general and the job that it does, and the fact that Donald Trump hates the media because the media doesn't always agree with him. That's not the role of the media. We'll talk about that coming up on WWL.